I'm wearing a tie this morning to make Frode look bad.
Jeg har slips på meg i formiddag for at han Frode skal se dårlig ut.
What should I say of David? No, I tell you the first night that I had a tie, I just wanted to make sure that you realize I really did.
Jeg fortalte dere første kvelden at jeg hadde et slips, så vi var helt sikre på at dere så at jeg virkelig hadde det.
If you're joining our studies this morning for the first time, we're in the midst of a seminar, so to speak, on the book of John.
Hvis det første møte du på i denne serien, så vi midt i et seminar, så å si, om Johannes evangeliet.
And so I don't pretend to do a Sunday sermon at the moment.
Så jeg skal ikke late som om jeg heller i søndagspreik.
Much more teaching and thinking about the scripture.
Men det mye mer undervisning og tenking over skriften.
Now up until now we've done nothing but patterning in the scripture.
Og inntil nå så har vi bare sett på mønstre i skriften.
That's what you would call what we're doing in literary studies.
Det vil du kalle i litteraturstudier.
Seeing how a pattern of six conversations with women bring out one of the major themes of the Gospel of John.
Og se hvordan et mønster med seks samtaler med kvinner får fram et av hovedtemaene I Johannes evangeliet.
And then we proceeded with the seven plus one, the eight signs of John's Gospel.
Og så fortsetter vi med å se på det 7 pluss 1, det 8 tegnet I Johannes evangeliet.
And I think it's apparent as you see that they're in four pairs that they are indeed eight and not seven.
Og jeg synes det innlysende når du ser at det fire par, at det 8 tegn og ikke 7.
And the eighth, the superintending of the fishing expedition.
Og det 8, den når Jesus har overoppsyn med fiskerturen.
The Lord entering into the work of the disciples.
Når Herren går inn I arbeidet til disiplene.
Is as much for unbelievers as it is for believers.
Det like mye for ikke-kristne som for kristne.
Because chapter 2 propounds that expounds the same thing.
For kapittel 2 utlegger den samme tingen.
We have two more signs in the book of John.
Vi har to tegn til I Johannes evangeliet.
You can kindly disregard that for now, all right?
Dere kan se vekk på det.
And they're found in chapter 6.
Det finner vi I kapittel 6.
The two signs would be.
Og det to tegnene, det vil du være.
The multiplication of the loaves and the fish.
Brødunder der brød og fisken ble formeret.
And what would the second sign be?
Hva vil andre tegne være?
Jesus walking on the water.
Well, is that what's said here? He was walking on the water? Yeah, he's walking on the sea.
Jesus som går på vattnet.
Some theologians have meant he was walking on the sea, you see.
Noen teologer har ment at han gikk på sjøen.
Like I do sometimes, you know, along the sea you have a pathway where you walk, you see. You walk on the sea.
At du tar en spasertur langs sjøen.
But, and I do that myself, you see. I walk along the sea.
Jeg går tur langs sjøen.
And that's exactly what the Greek here can mean.
Og det kan faktisk gresken her bety.
But it's yet to happen that somebody thought they saw a ghost when they saw me walking on the sea.
Men har fremdeles ikke hendt at noen har trodd de så et spøkelse når de så meg gå langs sjøen.
So we will take these words with their normal meaning. He was walking on the sea.
Så vi skal ta disse ordene I sin normale betydning at han gikk på sjøen.
I wonder why they would think he would be a ghost, as it said in another gospel.
Jeg lurer på hvordan de skulle tro at han var et spøkelse som står I et annet evangelium.
Have you ever weighed a ghost?
Have you ever
weighed a ghost?
Har du noen gang vekt et spøkelse?
Now how much would a ghost weigh?
Hvor mye veger et spøkelse?
And how much weight would the water the surface tension of the lake carry?
Og hvor mye tyngde vil overflate spenning I innsjøen tåle?
I tell you what, if you see somebody walking on the sea.
Jeg skal si det at hvis du ser en som går på sjøen,
it's either a ghost,
så det enten et spøkelse,
or he knows where the rocks are.
Eller så vet han hvor steinene befinner seg.
Okay. And so that's the second miracle, but that's actually not the miracle.
Så det är det andra miraklet, men det är faktiskt inte själva miraklet.
John is interesting in another detail of his walking on the sea.
För Johannes är intresserad I en annan detalj I det att han gick på sjön.
You see, as Matthew tells the story,
när Matteus berättar historien sin,
Peter got out of the boat and walked too.
Så gick Peter ut av båten och gick han också.
That's of no interest to John. That's already been written by Matthew.
Och det är inte intressant för Johannes. Det har redan blivit nedskrivet av Matteus.
The incident with the ghost doesn't interest John at all.
Och händelsen med spökelse intresserar heller inte Johannes.
What interests John is when Jesus got in the boat, they were immediately at the other side of the lake.
Det som intresserar Johannes är att när Jesus kom ombord I båten så var de strax på andra sidan av sjön.
It's the same story, of
course.
Samma
historien, självklart.
But this sign is showing or signifying something different in this context in chapter 6.
Men detta tecken har en annan betydning I denna sammanhangen.
Remember what we said yesterday?
Husk vad vi sa I går?
We use the word miracle.
Vi brukte ordet under.
We think then of the supernatural entering space and time.
Och då tänker man på att det övernaturliga kommer in I rum och tid.
Something that cannot be explained by the regularities of physics and chemistry.
Något som inte kan förklaras av regelmässigheten I fysik och kemi.
A singularity where God enters space and time and does something that seems to contradict his own physical laws.
En enastående händelse, en singularitet där Gud kommer in I rum och tid och ger något som ser ut att motsäga hans egna fysiska lovar.
Or maybe it speeds up a process, you see.
Eller kanske han ökar hastigheten på en process.
No physical law is contradicted by changing water into wine.
Där ingen fysisk lov så blir motsagt av att göra vatten till vin.
It happens every year.
Det sker kvart år.
But it normally doesn't take place in barrels or in pitchers of wine. It doesn't happen normally that way.
Men det sker vanligtvis inte I tunnor eller I muggar med vin.
That's a miracle.
För det ett mirakel.
The speeding up of the process.
Att processen blir för ökt hastighet.
But the eight signs of John's gospel are more than that.
Men det åtta tecknen I Johannes evangeliet är mer än det.
The word sign means it wants to show you something, to signify something.
För ordet tecken betyder att det vill visa dig något, det vill betyda något.
A miracle is a supernatural event.
Ett mirakel, det är en övernaturlig händelse.
A sign is a supernatural parable.
Ett tecken, det är en övernaturlig liknelse.
And we saw that yesterday.
Och vi såg det igår.
How God came and resurrected Lazarus was a parable of his coming.
Hur Jesus kom och uppreste Lazarus att det var en liknelse på hans igenkomst.
He's speaking of a word to the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Det han sa ett ord till mannen vid Bethesda dammen.
Became the basis of a whole chapter of the book of John, chapter 5.
Blev grundlaget för ett helt kapitel I Johannes evangeliet kapitel 5.
Where you see Jesus working on the Sabbath.
Så ser du Jesus arbetar på sabbaten.
God, the very source of life.
Gud, livets kilde.
Who gives life to whoever God wills.
Så ger liv till en kvar som Gud vill.
Who will one day judge the dead.
Så en dag ska döma de döda.
If we would hear his voice the way the paralytic heard him, we would the weak man heard him, we would live.
Hvis vi hørte stemmen hans, så den skrøpelige svake mannen hørte han, så ville vi leve.
And so we want to ask ourselves this morning in chapter 6, what is does the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, what does the crossing of the Red Sea want to signify?
Och då ska man spöra oss självspörsmål, vad betyder det bröd under där bröd och fisk blev formerat? Eller vad betyder det att det kryssade Galilea?
And in John, these two miracles may preach another message than they preach in the other gospel.
Och det kan ändå att Johannes evangeliet förkynner dessa underen en annan något annat än I de andra evangelierna.
Well, what time of year is it here and where are we?
Vilken tid på året är vi här? Hvor är vi henne?
We are in Galilee.
Med Galilea.
We're actually on the other side of the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias.
Men faktiskt på den andra sidan av Galileas sjön i Tiberias.
It is also takes place in a synagogue.
Det finner också sted i en synagoge.
And the timing is the feast of the Passover.
Och tidpunkten det är med på, i förbindelse med påskefesten.
The feast is at hand. Everyone's preparing for the Passover.
Påskefesten närmar sig. Alla förbereder sig på påsken.
Try to imagine Advent in Norway.
Prova föreställa dig advent i Norge.
Christmas doesn't begin on the 24th of December.
Jul börjar inte den 24 december.
You've been in the Christmas spirit for several weeks, you see.
Det har varit julastämning i flera veckor.
And these people are in the Passover spirit.
Och dessa folk är i påskastämning.
Many people will see their relatives once a year at Passover.
Många folk här vill möta släktingar sina en gång i året.
Some will see their relatives every 15 years at Passover.
Och någon ser släktingar sina vart 15 år.
Everything's moving toward Passover when Jesus does these miracles.
Allt bevägar sig mot påsken när Jesus gör dessa mirakler.
And he's out there teaching these people.
Och han är där ute och undervisar dessa folk.
And Philip says, you know, you got to send these people away. There's just too many of them.
Och Philip säger att man måste sända dessa folk iväg, det är allt för många av dem.
And Jesus wants Philip to enter into the process. He says, why don't you give something to eat?
Och Philip vill att Jesus vill att Philip ska bli en del av processen, så han säger, varför ger du inte något att äta?
For a year and not earn enough money to buy bread for these people.
Och han säger att en man kan arbeta ett helt år, han har inte tjänat nog pengar till att ge mat till dessa folk.
And then one of his disciples, Andrew, points out a small boy with four little barley buns and two little pickled fish.
Och så är det en av disciplinerna, Andreas, som pekar på en liten gud som har fem byggbröd och två små fiskar.
The Lord lifts his eyes toward heaven, calls down the supernatural power of God on these elements and feeds over 5,000 men plus women and children.
Och Herren han vände ögonen sina upp mot himlen och kallar Guds kraft över dessa elementen och mättar 5,000 män förutom kvinnor och barn.
And then he does something that's strange.
Och så gör han något märkligt.
He says, I want you to gather up all the fragments of bread, not fish, of course, but all the fragments of bread that nothing would be lost.
Och så säger han att det är något märkligt. Han säger samla upp alla resterna, alla smularna av bröd, inte fisken.
Remember that detail.
För att ingenting ska gå tapt.
And the people are so excited. They say, "This has got to be the prophet."
Och så blir folk så begeistrade och säger, "Detta må vara profeten."
Note that.
Lägg märke till det.
Deuteronomy 18. Someone like Moses.
Femte Mosebok 18. En som Moses.
The people have been waiting for hundreds of years for a figure to arise, a prophet who speaks for God.
Folk hade väntat i århundraden på en profet, en som skulle tala som Gud.
The latter day Moses.
En Moses av de sista tider.
They said that's him.
They said det är han.
Of course Moses was a very political figure.
Men Moses var också självklart en var som politisk skickelse.
He was the leader of the nation.
Han var nationens ledare.
They tried to force Jesus Christ to proclaim a kingdom.
Och de prövade pressa Jesus Kristus till att utropa ett kungarike.
Ooh, that's a hot situation.
Och det är en ganska
they're on the other side of the lake.
De är på andra sidan av sjön.
Away from the Roman government.
Väcka ifrån det romerska regerings.
5,000 men in one place.
5,000 män på en plats.
And they want to make him king.
Och så vill de göra han till konge.
Notice how he reacts.
Lägg märke till hur han reagerar.
He disappears on a mountain and he sends his disciples away as quickly as he can.
Han försvinner upp på en fjälltopp och han sänder disciplerna sina iväg så fort så han kan.
Christianity is not a political movement.
Kristendom är inte en politisk bevegelse.
Even though some Christians have made their mark.
Själv om någon kristen har sett sina spår.
That is not the message of the gospel.
Så är det inte budskap i evangeliet.
So he sends his disciples away.
Så han sänder disciplerna iväg.
And he's up on the mountain.
Och så är han uppe på fjället.
It becomes dark.
Det blir mörkt.
The great storm on the sea. The wind is funneled through the mountains onto the sea.
Så är det en stor storm på sjön Vinden ble presset ned mellom fjellene ned på sjøen.
They'd rowed 3 or 4 miles.
Og de har beveget seg en 4-5 kilometer.
Now some of you Norwegian knows what that means. Know what that means.
Noen av dere nordmenn vet hva det betyr.
The most I've ever been in a canoe was about 80 miles on a canoe trip.
Det lengste jeg har tatt med turen jeg har hatt med kano var en cirka 120-130 kilometer.
I was 50 years old.
Jeg var 50 år gammel.
Now I'm 60 years old.
Nå jeg 60.
And in July I'll paddle 300 miles.
Og I juli så skal jeg paddle 450 kilometer.
I'm going down river.
Men jeg skal ned I elv, ser du.
Somebody asked me the other day, I said I was going to take this float trip, and a Norwegian asked me.
En spurte meg en dag når jeg fortalte om den turen, en nordmann spurte meg.
Are you going to go up river or down river?
Skal du opp elv eller ned elv?
I thought, man, 300 miles up river.
450 kilometer opp I elv.
That's like walking from here to the moon on an escalator backwards.
Det som å gå baklengs på en rullestrapp herifra opp til månen.
Of course, these people were rowing against the wind and the waves.
Men disse her, de rodde imot vinden og bølgene.
Otherwise, they would have been sailing, you see.
For ellers ville de ha seilt, sa du.
And it blows them across the lake, almost.
Og de ble blæste nærmest over sjøen.
And Jesus comes in the night.
Og så kommer Jesus om natten.
They're frightened.
De blir redde.
He said, it is I.
Og så sier han, det meg.
Some preachers say, he's saying, I'm God. Og they go, Amy, it is I am that I am.
Og noen predikanter sier, han sier, det meg. Ego, Amy, jeg Gud. Jeg
That sounds very spiritual, I know, but he's probably just saying, hey guys, it's me.
Det høres voldsomt ordentligt ut, men sannsynligvis sier han bare, hey Karol, det meg.
And immediately he's on land.
Og så kommer han ombord I båten, og så med en gang øyeblikkelig ser de
med land. Now, what have we been talking about?
Hvem har snakket om?
People in a wilderness.
Folk I ørkenen.
Without bread.
Uten brød.
He gives them bread.
Han gir dem brød.
They think he is the greater Moses.
De tror at han den større Moses.
And he makes sure that none of that bread gets lost.
Og han sørger for at ikke noe av dette brødet går tapt.
And when he sends his disciples on a journey,
og når han sender
disiplene, and they're in trouble on the way,
disiplene sine ut på en reise, og de kommer I problemer på veien,
when he comes there immediately at their goal, that is the sign.
Når han da kommer der til, så de øyeblikkelig ved målet, og det tegnet.
Now, what could that mean at Passover time?
Hva kunne dette her bety? Kan dette bety med påsketiden?
You see, Passover was a journey.
Så at påsken var en reise.
The people of God were saved from the power of the prince of this world by the blood of the Passover lamb.
Guds folk ble frelste ifra denne verdens første ved blodet til påskelammet.
They ate its body.
De åt kroppen til lammet.
And they appropriated its blood.
Og de gjorde blodet til sitt eget.
That remind you of anything in chapter 6?
Minner det deg om noe I kapittel 6?
And that was, they ate that meal with their loins girded.
Og det var de åt dette måltidet med om belte om livet.
And standing.
Og så stående.
Now that might be one thing to eat standing when your table's this big.
Og det kan være en ting å ete stående når bordet så høyt.
But their table was about as high as a coffee table.
Men bordet deres var like høyt som et salongbord, cirka.
And it becomes very difficult to eat if you're eating with your staff in your hand. You know, how are you going to manage the fork and the spoon?
Det var så vanskelig å ete når du har en stav I hånden I tillegg. Hvordan skal du håndtere gaffel og skje?
And of all things, they're eating with shoes on their feet.
Og av alle ting så eter de med sko på føttene.
What's this saying?
Hva den sier? Like det betyr?
Passover means we're on a journey.
Påske betyr at vi på reise.
And they have a goal.
Og de har et mål.
The land promised to Abraham and his seed.
Landet som ble lovt til Abraham og hans ett.
A land flowing with milk and honey.
Et land som flyter med melk og honning.
We might even call it a prototype heaven, wouldn't we? Sort of, you know.
Kanskje vi kunne kalt det for en prototyp på himmel, kunne vi ikke?
Will they make it to their goal?
Kommer de til å nå målet sitt?
Well, in chapter 5, we saw
I kapittel 5 så såg man
we saw that Jesus was the source of life.
Det såg man att Jesus var livets kilde.
He has life in himself.
Han har liv I sig själv.
If you believe his word,
hvis du tror ordet hans,
you'll have eternal life.
Så vil du få evigt liv.
Never be judged.
Du aldrig kommer til dom.
You've already passed out of death into life.
Du allerede gått över från döden till livet.
But the reception of life is only the beginning.
Men det att ta emot livet, det är bara begynnelsen.
To survive in this wilderness on the way to glory.
Och överleva I denna ökenen på väg till härligheten.
You'll need what we German speakers call Lebensmittel.
Det betyr att du kommer till att tränga näringsmedel.
That's better than groceries, like we say in English. Lebensmittel, the means of life.
Livsmedel, som säger på tysk.
And so Jesus Christ, in this Passover motif, is the means of life.
Och Jesus Kristus I detta här den påskesättningen, han är livsmedlene.
He's the bread from heaven, the bread necessary to get us across that great wilderness to the promised land.
Han är bröd ifrån himlen. Han är det bröd som är nödvändigt för oss att föra oss genom den stora ökenen till det lovade land.
Not only that, he's Moses. He's greater than Moses.
Och inte bara det, han är Moses. Han är större än Moses.
He does the miracle, all right?
Han gör under, sant?
And the people get excited. Ooh, wow.
Och folk blev begeistrade.
They want to make him king.
De vill göra honom till konge.
He gets out of Dodge before sundown. He's gone, man.
Och han försvinner för solnedgång.
And his disciples are gone.
Och disciplarna försvinner.
And the people say, he's on the other side of the lake.
Och så säger folk, han är på andra sidan.
So the boat, their boats have been blown from the west side to the east side of the lake.
Så båten där så blir en blåsning från västsida till östsida på sjön.
So they get in these boats. And they sail to the other side.
Och så går de upp I båtarna och så sailar de till andra sidan.
The other way around doesn't matter.
Det är omvänt. What should we say?
They didn't have a GPS, and I don't either.
They had a GPS, don't you?
They sailed somewhere else, and they found Jesus.
De sailed till en annan plats och så fann de Jesus.
When did you come here?
Kan du komma hit till?
How'd you get here?
Hur kom du dit hit till?
And he says, "Truly, I say to you." You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the bread and were filled.
Så säger han sannolikt, säger dock söker inte mig för att såg tegnen, men för att åt bröd och blev mätta.
That's not quite true.
Det är inte sant.
Because verse 1 says they were following because of the signs.
För vers 1 säger att de följde ettan på grund av tegnena.
But what Jesus means is, you are not interested in what the signs signify.
Det som Jesus säger är att du inte är intresserad I vad tegnene betyder.
You want the sign itself.
Du vill ha tegnene I sig själv.
The literal bread, the literal pickled fish.
Det bokstavliga brödet, den bokstavliga sursillen.
He says, but that is food which perishes.
Men han säger, det är mat som förgår.
Work not for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you.
Och arbeta inte för det den maten som förgår, men för den maten som blir till evigt liv som Guds son.
Notice he's leading them in a discussion.
Lägg märke till att han leder dem.
They said, "Well, what do we have to do to work the works of God?"
En samtal. De säger, "Vad ska vi göra för att göra Guds gärningar?"
He says, "God is only requiring one thing of you, that you believe."
Och han säger att Gud kräver bara en ting av dig, att du tror.
In him who God has sent.
I han som Gud har sent.
Why would you? We should we believe in you?
Varför ska man tro på dig?
What sign do you do that we believe in you?
Vad tegn gör du som jag ska tro på dig?
You think, man, he just did a sign.
Han
just fed 5,000. He just fed 20,000 people like that.
Han är nettopp. Så han skulle ha fått 20,000 man gett I mat.
He denied the laws of physics.
Han övervinner fysikens lovar.
20,000 people with full stomachs.
Här är 20,000 mätta folk.
So what do they say?
Så vad de säger?
They can't be saying he didn't do a sign.
De kan inte säga han gjorde ett tegn.
Oh, I'll tell you what they're saying.
Men det säger de vad de säger.
Moses gave us bread to eat, our father's bread to eat in the wilderness.
Moses gav fäderna våra bröd att äta I öknen.
Are you Moses?
Är du Moses?
Latter-day Moses?
Den sista tiden Moses?
You did it once, could you do it for 40 years?
Du har gjort det en gang, kunne du gjort det i 40 år?
And Jesus said, no, it wasn't Moses. God gave you the bread in the wilderness.
Så sier Jesus, det var ikke Moses, det var Gud som gav dere brød i ørkenen.
And God gives you present tense.
Og Gud gir dere presens.
The living bread.
Det levende brød.
My Father gives to you the true bread of heaven. The bread of God is that which comes out of heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 32, verse 33.
Men min, vers 32 og 33, men min far gir dere det sanne brød fra himmelen.
For imagine Guds, that, we've already done 33 verses.
Very
That's
good.
Cool, yeah?
For Guds brød er det som kommer ned fra himmelen og gir verden liv.
They said, well, wonderful, then just give us this bread. They don't understand him, do they?
Ja, så bare gi oss det brødet, sier de. De forstår ikke hva han som mener.
So Jesus becomes more provocative.
Så Jesus blir mer provoserende her.
Notice at first he talks about the one that God sent. Okay.
Legg merke til det første snakket om han som Gud har sendt.
Doesn't sound so extreme.
Det høres ikke så ekstremt ut.
The true bread out of heaven, okay, good.
Det sanne brød fra himmelen, okay.
Came down out of heaven like the manna.
Kom ned fra himmelen akkurat som manna.
But then suddenly says, I am the bread of life.
Men så sier han plutselig, jeg er livets brød.
And we have to take a moment here.
Og da må vi stoppe opp et øyeblikk.
I am the bread of life.
Jeg er livets brød.
It seems to me in John's gospel he says several times, I am this and I am that, and I am the door.
Det virker som om han sier i Johannes evangeliet flere ganger dette, jeg er døren.
The good shepherd, or the shepherd of the sheep.
Jeg er den gode hyrden. Jeg er
the light of the world.
Jeg er verdens lys.
I am, I am, I am.
Jeg er, jeg er, jeg er.
How many times does he say that?
Hvor mange ganger sier han det?
Okay, Aaliyah, count them up, man.
I don't have idea.
Yeah, well, that's good. This time, keep your mouth shut. Just kidding. We're friends. Okay, how many times does he say that?
Hvor mange ganger sier han det?
He says it 8 times.
Åtte ganger.
Of course, all the preachers say 7 times.
Say,
they love that number 7.
Sju ganger, de elsker dette tallet sju.
Come 11. But says it 8 times.
Men han sier det åtte ganger.
Because he says twice, I am the light of the world.
For han sier to ganger, jeg er verdens lys.
We've already said in seen in chapter 8 and in chapter 9, he means two different properties of light.
Og vi har allerede sett at i kapittel 8 og 9 så er det to forskjellige egenskaper av lys.
Chapter 8, light exposing darkness.
I kapittel 8 så er det lys som avslører mørke.
Chapter 9.
I kapittel 9.
Light that gives the ability to see.
Så er det lys som gir evnen til å se.
Well, that would be an interesting thing to read together, wouldn't it?
Det ville være interessant å lese sammen.
8 times I am. What would that say about the Gospel of John? What that would say about Jesus Christ?
8 ganger jeg er. Hva vil si det om Johannes evangeliet? Hva sier det om Jesus Kristus?
I'll have to leave that to a better preacher than I.
Jeg får overlate det til en bedre forkynner enn meg.
But I am the bread of life.
Men jeg er livets brød.
I am the living bread.
Jeg er det levende brød.
I am the Lebensmittel, the means of life.
Jeg er livsmidlet, midlet til liv.
Whoever he who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst.
Den som kommer til meg skal ikke hungre, og den som tror på meg skal aldri noen gang tørste.
Well, what does it mean to come to Christ?
Hva betyr det å komme til Kristus?
If you come and you never hunger,
hvis du kommer og aldri blir sulten mer,
it must mean that coming has to do with eating, doesn't it?
Så må det bety at det å komme har noe med å ete å gjøre.
And if believing has to do with drinking,
og hvis det å tro,
he who believes in me will never thirst.
Hvis det å tro har noe med å drikke å gjøre, han skal aldri noen gang tørste, står det.
That's important to see.
Det er viktig, ser du.
Because this chapter is read every Sunday in the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, every day.
For dette kapitlet vil lese hver søndag, ja, faktisk hver dag i den romersk-katolske kirken.
And they read, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day.
Og de leser, den som eter mitt kjøtt og drikker mitt blod har evig liv, og jeg skal oppreise ham på den siste dag.
That's part of the hocus pocus formula, okay?
Det en del av hocus pocus formulen.
You eat the bread, the oblaten.
Du eter oblaten.
And you drink the blood, the wine.
Drikker vinen.
which have become body and blood of Christ, and you have eternal life. The Mass is necessary to salvation according to Roman Catholic teaching. But we see here eating has to do with coming to Christ. Drinking has to do with believing in
Christ.
These verses say what the rest of the Bible says. You have to come to Christ and believe in Him, and you'll have eternal life, and He'll raise you up at the last day.
Dette kapitlet sier det som resten av Bibelen sier. Du må komme til Kristus, og så må du tro på Han, så vil du ha evigt liv og bli oppreist på den siste dag.
You read this gospel, it says, verse 47, he who believes has eternal life.
Så det så I detta evangeliet vers 47 den som tror har evigt liv.
Could it be more simple than that?
Kan det bli enklare än det?
Well, that's the gospel as simple as I could preach it. He who believes has eternal life.
Det evangeliet så enkelt jeg ville forkynt den som tror har evigt liv.
But you see, all kinds of people have all kinds of funny notions what it means to believe.
Men det all slags folk så all slags merkelige begrep om hva det betyr å tro.
And so he makes it very understandable.
Så han gjør det voldsomt forståeligt.
It's like eating and drinking.
Det som att äta och dricka.
I can't eat for you.
Jag kan inte äta för dig.
I have these students with me wherever I go.
Jag har dessa elever med mig oavsett hur jag reser.
I couldn't see through my glasses.
Jag kunde inte se genom
brillorna. I gave my glasses to a student.
Så gav jag brillorna mina till en elev. Han gjorde det rena.
My students know that I'm thirsty when I talk, and so a student brought me something to drink.
Så en av eleverna gav mig något att dricka för han visste att jag blev tyst när jag prekar.
But just a moment.
Med ett litet ögonblick nu.
He brought me this glass of water.
Han gav mig detta vattenglas. Kan du dricka det för mig?
It doesn't work.
Det virkar inte.
There's some things you can't do for me.
Det är någonting du inte kan göra för mig.
I have to do them myself.
Jag må göra det själv.
Christ is the Passover sacrifice.
Kristus är påskeofferlammet.
But we have to eat his flesh.
Men man må äta kött hans.
We have to drink his blood.
Och man må dricka blod hans.
Passover was slaughtered in Egypt, in the land of Goshen.
Påskelammet blev slaktat I Egypt, I Gosen.
But every family for itself had to take that blood.
Men kvar familj för sig själv måste ta detta blodet.
And paint it on the door facing of their own home.
Och stryka det på dörrkarmen på sitt eget
If they did not apply that blood in faith.
Hvis de ikke anvendte dette blodet I tro.
They would be visited by the angel of death.
Så kommer de til å få besøk av dødsengelen.
Oh, how clear can the gospel become?
Hvor klart kan evangeliet bli?
We're in this world.
Vi I denne verden.
God has given us the means of life.
Gud har gitt oss livsmidlene.
But it's not automatic. You have to eat. You have to drink.
Men det ikke automatisk. Du må äta, du må drikke.
And he notices that his hearers are not agreeing with him.
Og så legger merke til at tilhørerne hans ikke enige med.
Up until now it's gone very good. You see, Jesus a little bit at a time has been advancing his argument.
Så til nå så har det gått ganske bra. Jesus har ført argumentene sine fram litt til litt.
But now.
Men nå.
They're not in agreement.
Så de ikke enige med ham.
And so he says in verse 36, but I said to you, you've seen me and yet you do not believe.
Og så sier han I vers 36, men jeg sa til dere at dere har sett meg og likevel tror dere ikke.
He said so much when he said they saw the bread and not the signs. They weren't believing.
Det var faktisk akkurat det samme han sa at dere søkte brød og ikke tegn.
And notice how he reacts to this lack of faith.
Og legg merke til hvordan han reagerer på denne mangelen på tro.
Think about it. You're out in the wilderness.
Tenk på det, du ute I ørkenen.
You're the leader.
Du lederen.
20,000 people following you.
20,000 mann som følger etter deg.
And suddenly they're not following you.
Og plutselig så følger de ikke etter deg lenger.
That could really make a leader feel insecure, couldn't it?
Det kunne skapa usikkerhet til en leder, kan du ikke?
Not Jesus.
Men ikke så Jesus.
He says, my mission does not depend on your agreement.
Han säger att mitt uppdrag är inte avhängigt av att dock är enig med mig.
All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out.
Alla de som Fadern ger mig kommer till mig, och den som kommer till mig vill jag slett inte stöta ut.
Now we're going to have to jump to another issue here.
Och nu måste man hoppa till en annan sak här.
What does it mean the Father gives someone to Christ?
Vad betyder att Fadern ger någon till Kristus?
Well, I know people, they hear that the Father gives people to Christ. You know, the Father elects people before the foundation of the world and gives them to Christ, to believe in Christ.
Och vet om folk när de hör det att Fadern ger folk till Kristus, så tänker de på att Fadern utväljer folk för världens grundval belagt och ger.
Or verse 44.
Vers 44.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him on the last day.
Ingen kan komma till mig utan att Fadern som har sänt mig drar ham, och jag ska resa ham upp på den sista dagen.
And some people feel we can't come to Christ.
Och någon tänker att vi kan inte komma till Kristus.
If God hasn't elected us to come to Christ.
Hvis Gud inte har utvalgt oss till att komma till Kristus.
And so God draws us.
Så Gud drar oss.
If he doesn't draw you, you can't come.
Och hvis han inte ger det, så
and
kan
so
du inte
they
komma.
See a sort of sovereignty here. Which checks our free will.
Så ser det en form för suveränitet här, så överstyrer vår fria vilja.
Well, let's look at these verses closer.
Men låt oss se närmare på
dessa. When did God give these people to Christ?
Kan de gav Gud dessa folk till Kristus?
Before the foundation of the world?
Før verdens grundval ble lagt.
Well, that's hardly the meaning of the present tense.
Det er neppe meningen av presens her.
It says here, all that the Father gives me shall come to me.
For her står det, alle de som Faderen gir meg kommer
til
meg.
Go to chapter 17.
Gå til kapittel 17.
Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me.
De var dine, og du gav dem til meg.
They were God's.
De hørte Gud til.
And at some point in time, God gave them to Christ.
Och på ett långt tidspunkt i historien så gav Gud dem till Kristus.
And here he's talking about the 11 disciples or apostles.
Och här snackar om de 11 disciplarna eller apostlarna.
They belong to you, Father, and you gave them to me.
De tillhörde dig, Far, och du gav dem till mig.
Well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was God from before the foundation of the world.
Ja, men vänta, jag trodde Jesus var Gud för världens grundval blev lagt.
When did God give them to Christ?
Kan de gav Gud dem till Kristus?
Look at chapter 14.
Sjå i kapittel 14.
Let not your hearts be troubled.
La ikke deres hjerter forferdes.
You believe in God.
Tro på Gud, eller dere tror på Gud.
You all believe in God.
Dere tror alle på Gud.
Now believe in me.
Men nå tro på meg.
When Jesus visited this planet.
Når Jesus besøkte denne planeten.
There was a man in the temple named Simeon.
Så var det en man i tempelet som heter Simeon.
An old prophetess in the temple named Anna.
Och en gammal profetinna i templet som heter Anna.
They believed in God.
Och de trodde på Gud.
They belonged to God.
De tillhörde Gud.
John chapter 1.
Johannes 1.
Jesus introduced by John the Baptist.
Jesus blev introducerad av Johannes döparen.
His disciples, the disciples of John the Baptist, they belonged to God.
Johannes døperen sine disipler, de tilhørte Gud.
But now they followed Christ.
Men nå fulgte de etter Kristus.
God giving people to Christ doesn't mean some kind of a something in his hidden counsels before the foundation of the world.
Det at Gud gir noen til Kristus betyr ikke noe som skjer i hans skjulte råd før verdens grunnvoll ble lagt.
It means God's activity in leading a person to faith in Christ.
Men det betyder Guds aktivitet när det gäller det att föra ett människa till tro på Kristus.
No one can come to the Father unless he is drawn by the Father.
Ingen kan komma till Fadern utan att den blir dratt.
Ooh, but you think, what does that mean?
Ingen kan komma till mig.
Am I drawn by the Father?
Kan betyder det? Är jag en av dem som blir dratt?
Can I do anything about it?
Kan jag göra något med det?
Well, how would you find that out?
Hur finner du det ut?
What do you do if you come to a Bible verse that says something that's somehow mysterious for you and you can't quite figure out what it says? What do you do then?
Når du kommer til et bibelvers som virker litt merkelig og hemmelighetsfullt for deg, hva gjør du da?
You look at the context.
Se på sammenhengen.
Thank you, Glenn. Could we read the context?
Kan vi lese sammenhengen?
Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up in the last day.
Vers 44. Ingen kan komma till mig utan att fadern som har sänt mig drar ham, och jag ska resa mig upp på den sista dag.
What's the context?
Vad är sammanhängen?
Verse 43. Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves."
Vers 43. Jesus svarte och sa till dem, knurr icke där emellan.
Well, that's an interesting word.
Det är intressant.
That's a word out of the Greek Old Testament.
Det är ett ord som stammar från det grekiska gamla testamentet.
When God gave the manna to Israel.
När Gud gav manna till Israel.
They grumbled.
Så knurrade de.
You know what God called the manna?
Vet du vad Gud kallade mannan?
The bread of grumbling.
Knurrebröd.
Grumbling with God, dissatisfied. A sign of non-faith.
Det var missförnöjda med det som Gud gav. Det var ett tecken på att de inte trodde.
He just told these people in verse 36, "Haven't I said you don't believe in me?"
Han sa allerede til disse folk i vers 36, har ikke jeg sagt at dere ikke tror på meg?
Verse 43, now you're grumbling, don't grumble, you're in danger now.
Vers 43, dere knurrer, ikke knurr, dere
don't
er i fare nå.
Don't react like your fathers in the wilderness.
Ikke reagere som fedrene deres i ørkenen.
And he makes clear again, the certainty of his movement does not depend on their agreement.
Og så gjør han det helt tydelig for dem at tryggheten til hans bevegelse har ingenting med om
no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day.
Ingen kan komma till mig utan att fadern som har sänt mig drar ham, och jag ska resa mig upp på den sista
dagen. It is written in the prophets.
Det ska stå skrivet hos profeterna.
They shall all be taught by God.
Och de ska alla vara lärt av Gud.
Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
Världen som hör av fadern och lär kommer till mig.
What does that mean?
Vad betyder det?
Here are people who are rebelling against the words of Jesus Christ.
Her er folk som gjør opprør imot Jesu Kristi ord.
And he's warning them.
Og så advarer han dem.
This is a sign that you're not being drawn by the Father.
Dette er et tegn på at dere ikke blir dratt av Faderen.
Because if you were being drawn by the Father, you would not be grumbling, you'd be in the process of coming to me.
For hvis dere ble dratt av Faderen, så hadde dere ikke knurret. Hvis dere var i den prosessen, da hadde
let me explain to you how the Father draws.
Låt mig förklara dig hur fadern drar.
The prophet Isaiah says, and they shall all be taught of God.
Isaiah, profeten Isaiah säger, de ska alla bli lärt av Gud.
That's how he draws.
Det är så han drar.
He teaches.
Han undervisar.
Where does faith come from, people?
Hvor kommer tro ifrån, folkens?
Some people say it's a sovereign gift of God.
You know, det är Guds suveräna gave.
That's not what Paul believed.
Det är inte det Paulus.
He said faith comes by hearing.
Han säger att tro
and hearing by what?
Och hör det är hörelsen den kommer ifrån.
The word of Christ.
Av Kristi ord.
And here Christ is speaking his word.
Och här talar Kristus sitt ord.
And God is teaching these people.
Och Gud undervisar dessa folk.
But what does he say?
Man kan han säga?
Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
Att kvar den som har hört och lärt.
Are you hearing me? Jesus is asking.
Hører dere meg, spør Jesus.
Stop grumbling.
Slutt å knurre.
Stop rebelling against my word.
Slutt å gjøre opprør imot ordet mitt.
Are you hearing me?
Hører dere meg?
Are you willing to learn from me?
Du villig til å lære av meg?
If you're not, you won't come to me.
Hvis du ikke, så vil du ikke komme til meg.
You see how clear the text is?
Ser du hvor klar teksten er?
It's not deterministic.
Det er ikke deterministisk.
It's our reaction to the preaching of the gospel.
Det er vår reaksjon på at evangeliet blir forkynt.
And the warning of Christ.
Og Kristi advarsel.
Now I want to get this sermon over quick.
Jeg blir fort ferdig med denne talen her.
So I'm going to go back to verse 39.
Så jeg skal gå tilbake til vers 39.
Verse 38.
Vers 38.
Verse 37. Read
37 to 40. Alla de som fadern ger mig kommer till mig, och den som kommer till mig vill jag slett inte stöta ut. För jag har kommit ner från himlen, inte för att göra min vilja, men för att göra hans vilja som har sänt mig. Och detta är hans vilja som har sänt mig, att jag inte ska miste något av allt det han har gett mig, men resa det upp på den sista dag. För detta är min fars vilja, att världen som ser sönnen och tror på ham skall ha evig liv, och jag skall resa ham upp på den sista dag.
He says, I've come to do the will of my father.
Han säger, jag är kommen för att göra min fars vilja.
You know, there's nothing greater you can do for God than his will.
Vet du, det är ingenting större du kan göra för Gud än att göra hans vilja.
You want to be a missionary? That's great.
Vill du bli missionär? Det är flott.
If God wants that.
Hvis Gud vill det.
If he doesn't want that.
Hvis han ikke vil det.
The greatest thing you can do for God is what he wants.
Så det største du kan gjøre for Gud, det som han vil.
Well, maybe you could be a billionaire and finance missions all over the world. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Kanskje du kunne blitt milliardær og finansiert misjon over hele verden. Det vil være
stort. Don't forget the greatest thing you can do for God is his will.
Men ikke glem at det største du kan gjøre for Gud, er hans vilje.
And Jesus came in this world sent by the Father to do his will.
Jesus kom inn i denne verden sendt av Faderen for å gjøre hans vilje.
And he summarizes the will of God with these words.
Og så oppsummerer han Guds vilje med disse ordene.
This is the will of God.
Dette er Guds vilje.
That all that he has given to me, of them I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day.
At jeg ikke skal miste noe av alt det han har gitt meg, men reise det opp på den siste dag.
That I lose nothing.
At jeg ikke skal miste noen ting.
That word to lose. We've seen in the text already, haven't we?
Dette ord om missa har man jo allerede gått tapt, har man allerede sett i teksten.
Gather up the bread, the fragments of bread, that nothing should be lost.
Samla i sammen brødsmulene, som blitt over, så slik at ingenting går til spille, at ingenting går tapt.
You think, well, that's not so important.
He's
just fed 20,000 people until they're just, you know, sitting there at, like after a Norwegian breakfast, you know.
And han har nettopp mettet 20,000 mann, så de sitter der som de eter en norsk frokost.
But what about these few crusts of bread? That's nothing, man.
Hva har disse brødsmulene å si? Det er jo ingenting.
Is Jesus saying we don't throw away food, you know, there are people starving in Africa?
Eller det Jesus sier,
is that what it's about?
Folk svelter i Afrika, det han sier.
I read that in a couple of commentaries.
That's
how they interpret those words. We don't throw away food.
Well,
my mother told me that I had to clean my plate. We don't throw away food because people are starving in China.
Mommy fortalte meg at du skal ete tallerken helt rene for at folk skal svelte i Kina.
Look at me now. Certainly, it's not good to throw away food, but that's not what he's talking about.
Sure, så det er ikke bra å hive mat, men det er ikke det han snakker om.
You see, he's saying this against the backdrop of Moses.
For han sier dette på bakgrunn av Moses.
Moses was given a job to do.
Moses ble gitt et oppdrag.
He was very good at commanding.
Han var voldsomt god til å befale.
He wasn't always so good at obeying.
Han var ikke alltid like god til å være lydig.
And so the whole generation, including Moses,
so, hey, dermed så var det sånn, hele generasjonen, inklusive Moses,
never reached the promised land. They were lost.
De nådde aldri det løftets land. De gikk tapt i ørkenen.
And Jesus said, I'm not like Moses in this respect.
Og Jesus sier at jeg ikke som Moses i denne forstand.
He said, I'm the bread of life. He who believes in me has eternal life.
Han sier at jeg er livets brød, og den som tror på meg har evigt liv.
Verse 49, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died.
Vers 49, deres fedre åt manna i ørkenen, og de døde.
This is the bread that comes down out of heaven, that so that one may eat of it and not die.
Dette er brød som kommer ned fra himmelen for at den skal ete av det og ikke dø.
And God's will.
Og Guds vilje.
And read this text.
Les denne teksten.
Everyone.
Verden, alle de.
You might want to cross that out.
Kanskje du vil sette en strek der.
Because maybe you believe a true believer can in some way lose his salvation and will not reach glory. Cross it out if you don't believe it.
Sett en strek over dette. Hvis du for eksempel tror at en sanne troende kan miste frelsen sin og gå fortapt.
If you believe that a true believer can believe in Jesus Christ and be entrusted to Christ, be given to Christ.
Hvis du tror at en sanne troende kan tro på han og bli gitt til Kristus.
As the people of Israel were given to Moses.
På samme måten så Israels folk ble gitt til Moses.
And somehow Christ loses him on the way to glory.
Og så skjer det at Kristus på en eller annen måte misser han på vei til herligheten.
Do what President Thomas Jefferson did.
Gjør det som president Thomas Jefferson gjorde.
Take your scissors.
Ta sokser de.
And cut that verse out of the Bible.
Og klipp det verset ut av Bibelen.
Because it says.
For det sier.
What does it say? This is the will of him who sent me, verse 39, that all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day.
I vers 39. Detta är hans vilje som har sänt mig, att jag inte skall miste något av allt det han har gett mig, men rejse det upp på den sista dag.
Oh.
Allt.
Maybe you should take your pen and cross out that word ah.
Alltså allt. Du kan ta pennan och så stryk ut det ordet kanske.
And write your name.
Och så skriv namnet ditt där heller.
You know, some of us are pretty slippery characters.
Någon av oss är ganska glatta typer. Ska jag säga min app ser hur Gud så minner mig våldsamt mycket om mig när jag var på hans alb. Och mig ganska glatta typer.
It ain't gonna be easy to get us to glory.
Det kommer inte bli lätt att få oss till härligheten.
We're not gonna make it easy on God.
Men det kommer inte göra det lätt för Gud.
Probably not.
Sannsynligvis inte.
But what if Jesus Christ got to glory?
Men hva om Jesus Kristus kom til herligheten?
There's a huge crowd out there.
Og det er en stor skare der ute.
You know, there are all those people from Norway out there, you know.
Alle disse folk fra Norge der ute.
And those Africans.
Og disse afrikanerne.
And when they smile.
Og når de smiler.
You know, their teeth just reflect the gold of heaven, you know.
Så reflekterer tennene deres.
Fantastic.
Himmelens gull. Fantastisk.
And God looks around and says, Jesus.
Och så ser Gud till honom och säger Jesus.
I don't see Fred Colvin.
Jag ser inte Fred Colvin.
You know, Father Fred Colvin.
Fred Colvin.
He was not a very easy case, you know.
Var inte något enkelt tillfälle.
But look at this guy.
Men se på alla dessa folk, Gud.
I want to tell you, Fred Colvin's not in heaven.
Vi ska berätta att Fred Colvin inte är i himlen.
All the lights of heaven will be turned out. It will be black in heaven.
Så kommer alla ljus i himlen till att bli slått av. Det blir mörkt i himlen.
Because Jesus Christ will have failed in doing the will of God.
För Jesus Kristus vill ha sviktat i att göra Guds vilja.
Isn't this wonderful?
Är inte detta härligt?
He's the source of life.
Han är livets kilde.
You hear his voice.
Du hör stämmen hans.
You believe him.
Och du tror på honom.
He gives you eternal life.
Och så ger han dig evigt liv.
And at the same time, God takes you.
Och på den samma tid så tar Gud dig.
And he gives you to Jesus Christ.
Och så ger han dig till Jesus Kristus.
Think not so much as a gift.
Inte tänk så mycket som en gåva.
But as a responsibility.
Men som ett ansvar.
You see in chapter 17, when he talks all about those that the Father has given him.
Så kan säga i kapitel 17 när han snackar om alla som Fadern har gett honom.
He's giving a duty report.
Han avlägger rapport.
He's finished his mission.
Han har fullfört uppdraget.
He said, I have protected those you gave me.
Jag har bevarat och beskyttat de som du gav mig.
And not one of them was lost.
Och inte en av de gick tapt.
You notice that word?
Lade du märke til det ordet?
Not one of them was lost.
Inte en av de gick tapt.
That was his job.
Det var hans jobb.
And now I'm coming to you, O Father.
Och nu kommer jag till dig, far.
Father, protect them.
Far, beskytt dig.
I want them to see my glory.
Jag vill att de ska se min härlighet.
I want them to see how much you love me.
Jag vill att de ska se hur mycket du älskar mig.
Oh my, this being given to Christ takes on new glory for me.
Det att bli gett till Kristus, det får helt ny härlighet.
As God entrusted Israel to this man Moses, God has entrusted us to Christ.
Som Gud övergav ansvaret för Israel till denne man Moses, på samma måte har Gud gett ansvaret för oss till Kristus.
And everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him.
Och en kvar som ser sonen och tror på honom.
Has eternal life and he says I myself will raise him on the last day.
Har evigt liv och han säger jag själv ska resa honom upp på den sista dag.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him.
Ingen kan komma till mig utan att Fadern har sänt mig drar han.
I will raise him up on the last day.
Och jag ska resa han upp på den sista dag.
This is the will of him who sent me that all he has given to me I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day.
Detta är hans vilja som har sänt mig att jag ska mista något av allt det han har gett mig men
he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life And I will raise him up on the last day.
Den som äter mitt kött och dricker mitt blod har evigt liv, och jag ska resa honom upp på den sista dag.
My dear sister, my dear brother, here is eternal security.
Och kära syster och kära bror, här är evig säkerhet.
I used to think sort of deterministic, you see.
Jag plejde att tänka på en måte deterministiskt.
I was chosen before the foundation of the world.
Jag utvalt för världens grund.
And I could never be lost if I was chosen before the foundation of the world.
Och jag kan aldrig gå tapt hvis jag blev utvalt för världens grund.
But you see, I misunderstood the text.
Men jag missförstod texten, sa du.
I thought I was chosen to be in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Bible doesn't say that.
Att jag blev utvalt till vara I Kristus för världens grund.
The Bible says I was chosen in Christ. Christ is the chosen one.
Men Bibeln säger att jag blev utvalt I Kristus. Kristus är den utvalgte.
My security is not static philosophical stuff.
Min trygghet är inte statisk filosofisk statiska filosofiska grejer.
It is the living Christ.
Det är den levande Kristus.
The leader of the people of God.
Ledaren till Guds folk.
Given the solemn responsibility to bring us all to glory.
Så blir gitt det högtidliga ansvaret att föra oss alla till härlighet.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Det är den helige ånd.
Even when we don't know how to pray.
We
pray the wrong thing.
Ber fel ting.
He says, you know, Father, he was praying, you know, for a little bit more money.
Säger han, far, du vet, man bara om att få lite mer pengar.
He wants that car pretty bad.
Han har som lust på den bilen.
But you know that wouldn't be good for him.
Men du vet, det vill inte vara bra för han.
Give him a little bit less money.
Ge han lite mindre pengar.
Holy Spirit,
den helige ånd,
taking me through this dangerous life in the wilderness, leading me.
Så leder mig och för mig genom detta farliga livet I öknen.
Interceding for me.
Så går I förbön för mig.
And then there's this high priest.
Och så är den ypperste prästen.
And by the power of an indestructible life.
Så I kraft av ett oförgängligt liv.
He lives forever.
Leve evigt alltid.
Why?
Varför?
To save me to the very end.
För att frälsa mig fullkomligt helt till ändes.
I'm here to tell you our salvation is not just philosophical stuff.
Jag är här för att fortälja dig att frälsningen vår är inte bara filosofiska grejer.
It is the dynamic of the holy persons.
Men det är dynamiken I de heliga personerna.
The Father disciplining.
Fadern som tuktar oss.
The Father sanctifying.
Fadern som heliggör oss.
Christ guiding me.
Kristus leder mig.
Pleading his blood for me as my advocate.
Så är min talsman och visar blodet sitt fram för mig.
My priest at the right hand of God with a perfect sacrifice.
Min präst vid Guds högra hand med ett fullkomligt offer.
The Holy Spirit in me.
Och den helige ånd I mig.
And before God for me.
Som och träd fram för Gud för mig.
Oh, I don't know how to say it any better. I wish I could talk worthy of this salvation.
Kusse kan säga det bättre, men jag skulle önska att jag kunde tala värdigt om denna frälsen.
Because this is bigger than I could ever express.
För detta är större än jag någon gång kan uttrycka.